Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio. This is Around the ATL, episode 124. We finally got here. It's been a while. It's been a minute since we've done an actual show, a full-length show where we talk all Atlanta sports. Our original format concentrates on Atlanta sports and sports in the state of Georgia. And we do 2 hours. We do 2 hours of Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta Falcons, Atlanta Braves, Atlanta Dream, Atlanta United, UGA, even a little bit of Georgia Tech, and other sports happenings in the city. We're going to start adding high school football a little bit. We're going to see if we can get to it tonight. I don't know how long I'll go tonight, but we're going to see. But I'm excited to be back. I appreciate everybody who's supported the show over the years. I hate that it's been almost, half a year since we've been on the air. Let me go back a little bit. We did do an NBA draft show. We did an NFL draft show as well as far as the Falcons. We did an end-of-the-year Atlanta Hawks show as well with guests Bob Rathlin and Steve Holman. So we have been on the air, but just not regular. So hopefully this will be the start of getting back on the air on a regular basis. Usually it's 10 o'clock on Wednesday. You can see it's 11 o'clock, just now getting started. 646-652-4479 is the number. I can't believe I remembered the number. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and get some housekeeping things going. There's the number right there just to let you know. First of all, if you've never listened or watched the show, you can always subscribe to the YouTube page that you're on right now. Hopefully, if you watch it now or watch it tomorrow or next week or whatever, take a few seconds, subscribe to the IMTN Worldwide Radio page on YouTube. If you could do that, I'd be very appreciative. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook under IMTM Worldwide Radio and subscribe and there for free, obviously. You can also follow us on Twitter, IMTM Radio, Intellect ATL, which is my personal page, and my co-host, Jordan Jackson, Jordan23ATL. Now, tonight's show is going to be brought to you by Price Design Club. So if you look down there, you see Price Design Club, go visit him on Instagram. Jamal Price is the owner. He actually designed the first logo for Around the ATL and the current logo along with my shirts. So make sure if you have a business, a talent that you need to be able to promote and market properly, make sure you go visit Price Design Club on Instagram. Make sure you let them know Around the ATL sent you. For the ladies and the guys, health and beauty, health and how you look is very important to you. For the ladies, beauty, obviously. If you're in the Chattanooga area of Tennessee, make sure you go to Scenic City Aesthetics. The owner, Majida Giddens, is somebody I've known for a decade. She's built her business from scratch. okay? And so if you really want to support a young woman who's doing really big things right now, she has her own spot. She's done so much in the community over there, but she's looking to expand as well. So if you're ever in the Chattanooga area, make sure you go visit her, Scenic City Aesthetics. She actually just had an interview on my show, Women in Business. So if you go to her Instagram page and click her link tree and go to the bottom, you'll see her interview on the Women in Business show. So make sure you do that as well. I can't believe I did all of that from memory right there. So tonight, what are we talking about tonight? So first of all, like I said, we're going to go through all of our sports tonight as much as I can. But tonight we're going to talk Hawks initially. And actually, let's make sure I bring in my co-host. My co-host tonight, one of the reasons, again, it's been really difficult to get regular shows. Both of us have crazy work schedules over the last few months. I also have had a lot of deaths in the family. So we've been dealing with a lot of family things on my end and stuff like that. So I'm glad that we, you know, are getting to the point of hopefully doing regular shows again. But I want to go ahead and introduce my co-host. He's been on the show for 4 years now. He is a writer as well, sports writer in town in the city of Atlanta, especially when it comes to the Bulldogs. He's pretty much an expert when it comes to that. Let's go ahead and bring in my co-host for the night, Mr. Jordan Jackson.
Jordan, how you doing, sir? What's going on, sir? Glad to be on Around the ATL once again. Like you said, it has been a minute. The work schedule is crazy. In fact, speaking of crazy work schedules, I have to be in Alpharetta by 6:30 in the morning. So, fortunately, I probably won't be able to hang the whole 2 hours with you guys, but I'm looking forward to chopping it up in the meantime. Shout out to my guy, Dennis Tony, Southern Classic Transportation. My employer there, if you ever need black car service, Sprinter van, shoot me a DM on Twitter at Jordan23ATL, and I'll certainly make that happen. Shout out to some personal friends of mine who I've met through that business, Mr. Tom Glavin and the entire Glavin family, including Chris, Mason, and Keenan. And if you say, Jordan, are you name dropping? The answer is yes, I am. I'm absolutely name dropping. shout out to all those listening to us live and all of those who will also listen to us after the fact on podcast form. You are certainly appreciated. And shout out to all those great guests that we've had on Around the ATL over the years. I don't want to start running down the names in fear that I may forget someone, but we certainly appreciate you guys too. Like I said, looking forward to talking to Atlanta sports, man, starting off with these Atlanta Hawks. With that being said, sir, let's get to it.
Well, actually, and again, this is just me being rusty. There was a few things I wanted to kind of do as well. So right now, this is the best time of the year for Atlanta, the Atlanta Falcons. They're playing their first or their last preseason game this week before they play their first game of the season soon. Who's going to play? We don't know. We'll find out soon. So we'll talk about that a little bit, depth chart, last week's game. We'll talk about that. The Atlanta Braves are having their best season ever, but can the offense carry the team through the playoffs? Okay. The Atlanta Hawks, obviously, we're about to talk about them. They had an offseason that consisted of trading longtime Hawk John Collins, re-signing DJ Murray, drafting some talented players, but will that be it? Question mark. Also, we're going to talk about why the city of Atlanta hates Trae Young. We're going to talk about that tonight. The Atlanta Dream are having a big season compared to the last few years. Will they make a surprise splash in the playoffs? Atlanta United shows glimpses of being competitive every now and again, but will they actually have a chance to reach the MLS Cup finals? UGA, obviously, they're defending their two-time national championship status, so can they do it? Again, I mentioned earlier we're going to talk a little bit high school football. We'll see if I can get it in tonight, but we'll see. So, by the way, tonight will be the first mention of the professional volleyball team called the Atlanta Vibe. I'm going to talk about them later on tonight as well. 646-652-4479 is the number. It looks like everything is working. So for the first time in a while, let's see if we can get this Hawk segment going.
Hey.
sounds pretty good. So the Atlanta Hawks, as I mentioned, had a 41-41 season. We lost 4-2 against the Boston Celtics. I said that we needed to make a splash this summer via free agency. We did re-sign DJ. We did trade John, but we didn't get anything in return. And you know, at the end of the day, if this is it, are we really a better team from last year? And despite knowing that we have a true coaching staff this year for the first time in 5 years, really, y'all know how I feel about that. I feel we'll avoid the play-in, but the other teams in the East also got a little bit better again. So I still think something could be stirring. I don't know, stir the pot a little bit. We'll talk about that a little bit. But can we advance, you know, against the teams in the East? We'll talk about that. But right now, I'm introducing this new segment called Fact or Fiction. Now, there's some specific reasons I'm going to be doing this, okay? And one of them is actually Mr. Ray Young actually just responded to me on Twitter not too long ago, because I let him know that I was going to be doing a segment right at the beginning of the show directly in regards to Trey Young. And I wanted him to be able to hear it, but right now he's in Oklahoma and whatnot. That's cool. But I'll send it to him after the fact. But for 5 years now, a big contingent of the population of Atlanta who say that they're Hawks fans have hated Trey Young. Hate. Criticism and hate are two different things. I've said that for decades. But for some reason, it continues to happen. Okay? So let me say a few things here. When we're talking about publicly hating Trey Young, we're talking about in public, online. Like, you really have to read some of these posts and the things that people say in their videos and stuff like that to be like, why do you hate Trey? Why do you hate his wife? Why do you hate his kids? Why do you hate his parents? And then you're willing to say it every single day. I don't get that. Okay? So this is for those who hate Trey Young. And the reason, be reminded, and again, Jordan, I told you this is going to take a little bit to get started. The reason the Hawks are even a team that people talk about is because Trey Young is here. People actually do come to State Farm Arena to watch Trey Young play. They weren't coming to the arena to see Dennis Schroeder play. That's the doggone shit, okay? And a player that in his third year took a team to 2 games away from being in the NBA Finals, the modern era NBA Finals, not St. Louis Hawks Finals, okay? The same player that you hate kept the team from losing 60 games a year in the beginning of his career here, knowing what our team makeup was back then, right? The player that puts his team on his back countless times, and NBA history is there to prove that, especially in the playoffs, which we'll get into that a little bit too if I got time. But you'd rather have young bull Colin Sexton on this team instead, swearing he's better still. So I want you to keep talking. I want you to keep hating him. Okay? I want you to make it clear to everybody how much you hate Trey Young, so that way when he wins his first NBA championship in Atlanta and he wins his second championship in Atlanta, what did Trey say? Let me see if I don't think I have it up yet. But just make sure you keep that same energy in that case. Okay, but we're going to talk about this hatred of Trey Young. Again, there's a difference between hatred and criticism. Everybody can have criticism, but then you get to the point where nothing is ever good for you, despite all the things, some of the things I just mentioned. That's strange to me. Now, before I get started, Jordan, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. I know you're on the air. You've got a little bit of limited time. Do you have any thoughts before I get into the fact or fiction part of this segment?
Well, sir, I guess initial thoughts are, I do not believe the majority of Hawks fans hate Trey Young by any means. I think, you know, Trey's popularity is reflected in the standings with the Hawks selling out 38 of 41 home games. And when you add in the standing room only tickets that we sell, we actually sold 104% of capacity for the season, which is more than there are more tickets sold than seats for the season. And that percentage was second in the NBA, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't think the majority of people hate Trae Young, but I think the haters are a very vocal group on social media, and so it makes them stand out. You know, we can get deeper into the reasons on why that hate is, rather than calling out Colin Sexton, a big factor is that guy that plays in Dallas. The elephant in the room, and sometimes literally with his off-season conditioning, is that guy that plays in Dallas, Luka Doncic. And there's a lot of factors to go into that. But with that being said, you know, we're here to set the record straight as always, like we always do. And, you know, I'm looking forward to big things this upcoming season from both Trae and the Atlanta Hawks as a whole, sir.
So that being said, let's see if I can now this is where it gets a little bit difficult because I don't know if I can recreate some of these, but let's see if this works real quick. Let's see. Hate doing this in real time, but all right, it worked. So one of the things I wanted to mention, because NBA history does matter. I don't care what anybody says. When your name is there historically with other historical figures in the NBA, and you still don't like Trae Young because of that, that's just weird to me. Because you don't hate any of the other players that are also in these statistical categorical lists that count because they did play in the NBA, okay? So one of the things I want to mention right off the bat is passing the ball to other people, okay? Most assists in their first five seasons. Jordan, I'm going to read this list to you and just let me know, you know, what your thoughts are on some of these players. Oscar Robertson, Isaiah Thomas, John Stockton, Kevin Johnson, Tim Hardaway, Deron Williams, Chris Paul, CP3, Magic Johnson, Muggsy Bogues, and at number nine, Trae Young. Those players ahead of him are the top eight players who in their first five seasons have the most assists in NBA history, in their first five seasons. Jordan, any opinions on any of those players that I just mentioned?
Well, the best point guards to play the game are on that list for one thing. Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, who I would, you know, rank second in terms of pure point guards. I mean, if I'm gonna put Steph Curry as a point guard, he'd be number two. Then Isaiah Thomas would be number three. Then John Stockton would be my number four. The other thought about that list is, you know, when you add in overall accolades in terms of scoring as well, is Trae is really already on track to be a better basketball player than most of the players on that list. You know, I'm not going to put him ahead of Magic and Stockton and Isaiah just yet. And, you know, he's got a ways to go before he catches CP3 as well, you know, all time. But a lot of the other guys, you know, Kevin Johnson, Muggsy Bogues, and many other names you mentioned, Trae is already a better basketball player than those guys ever were.
Well, it's funny that you should mention some of those names because we're going to throw in some other names in the mix, just players in general. Some of them are point guards, but some of them are just longtime NBA players of note. So right now, Trae is at 3,285 assists for his career at this moment, okay, 5 years in. All right. Now, let me do this real quick. Hold on a second. Give me a second here. Sorry about that, y'all. Trying to do a lot right here. There we go. So he has 3,285 assists. If he gets at least 741 assists this year, which is what he had last year, this next coming year, which is his sixth NBA season, he's going to pass Derrick Rose, Steve Franchise, Penny Hardaway, Jalen Rose, Pete Maravich, Earl the Pearl, Elgin Baylor, Larry Drew, we know who he is, Derek Fisher. Let's just say if Kyrie decided to end his career today, he would pass Kyrie Irving all time in assists. Scott Skiles, the Joker, also, if he was to retire and go play with his horses or whatever. Manu Ginobili. Not necessarily a point, but he did pass the ball a lot on those championship teams, didn't he? Rick Barry, possibly Kenny Smith. sixth year in the league, he passes all those guys right there. Just to give you an idea of some of the players he'll pass in his seventh year, okay? And again, these are guys that have played 10, 15 years in the NBA. Three players of note, Grant Hill, KD, Vince Carter. Also, our very own Jeff Teague, Joe Dumars, Jay Crossover, Spud Webb, and Ray Allen. What do you think about some of those players, Jordan?
Well, I think it's incredible. I mean, I think it's incredible that Trey has already passed most of the greats in 30-point, 10-assist games as well. And the other thing that you have to factor in with this is Trey had two seasons cut short due to COVID. There were two seasons where there were only about 70-something games played total, about 72 games played total, and Trey didn't even get to play all of those in one season because the Hawks weren't invited to the bubble. And a lot of the guys are still playing today on those, you know, that would be on any type of list for assists or points or whatever. They were in the bubble and got a chance, the advantage of getting inflated stats in the bubble, which Trey didn't get. So you also have to factor that in as well, sir.
Correct. Now, if you ever get some spare time, go and look at that list of just the top players in the league over time as far as just assists in general, and just see some of the players that are in that list. Some of them are not point guards. Again, I will mention that. But there's some really interesting players in that list. And also, just to throw this out there real quick, in Trey's eighth year in the league, he's going to be in the top 50 all-time in assists. Eighth year in. Just letting y'all know that. Now, let's talk playoffs, because playoffs, you know, actually, you know, what did I do the sounder? Why can't I get Coach to do the sounder? Let's do that real quick. I haven't done that in a long time. I forgot that I had it, right? Goodness gracious.
What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
I got to try to remember my sound effects, Jordan. So, Trae Young has three seasons in the playoffs, 3 years, okay? And Jordan just kind of mentioned why, one reason we didn't get invited in the bubble that one time, right? So 27 games Trae has played in the playoffs, just 27, okay? So right now he sits at 243 playoff assists at the moment, okay? Just to let you know, yes, he does have more assists than Luka. Also, Jaylen Brown over there in Boston Town with his $300 billion.
Got more points than Luka, too, by the way.
Exactly. So other players of note that he's ahead of at this moment, who's played a long time in the playoffs, who's had a lot of chances to play in the playoffs, DeMar DeRozan, White Chocolate, Jason Williams, Sleepy Floyd, just to name a couple people. But let's just say Trey gets to the playoffs this year, and let's just say the Hawks get to the Eastern Conference Finals again, like they did 2 years ago. And let's just say he gets at least 150 assists. Guess who he's going to pass at this point? Mark Price, Derrick Rose, Nick the Quick, Mookie Blaylock, Kyrie Irving again, depending on what they do in the playoffs over there in Dallas Town, John Wall, Iso Joe, Lenny Wilkins, Tim Hardaway, Rod Strickland, Byron Scott, and if he happens to get a little bit more than 150 assists, he will pass Greek Freak and the Claw, Kawhi Leonard, in his sixth season in the NBA, fourth playoff appearance. And also, just to let you know, other players of note, let's just say if they either didn't make the playoffs or they retired for some reason, he would also pass Damian Lillard, Klay Thompson, Jamal Murray, and Chris Middleton as well. What do you think about that, Jordan?
Once again, man, it's just incredible the things this man has been able to accomplish at such an early stage in his career. I mentioned, you know, the 30-point 10-assist games. I mean, he's four or five time in that stat already. Only Oscar Robertson, James Harden, LeBron James, and Russell Westbrook have more. You know, one of only three active players to average 28 points, 9 assists for a season. One of five players only to do it all time. And the only active player and just one of three players all time to do it more than one time. The man is just incredible, you know. And, you know, I know people were down on him because he started, you know, last season in the shooting slump. I'm telling you now, I think you're going to see one of Trae Young's best seasons this upcoming year. I think you're going to see him average, you know, 11 assists. I think you're going to see his points per game. They may not be, you know, 28 like they were, but I think you'll see the efficiency return to what it was in the 2021-2022 season, and where he shot career high from three-point range as well.
So you mentioned a couple of things that I was going to mention as well, and I've mentioned it before a billion times, and so people should know it by now, but I'm going to break it down just a little bit more, okay? So total points and assists the last 5 years, Trae Young has led the league. He's led the league the last two seasons in total points and assists. Two seasons ago, he led the league in total points and assists. The only other person to do that is Oscar Robertson, okay? 30-point games and 10 assist games in NBA history. Trae is fourth, as Jordan just mentioned, with 62. The three above him, Westbrook, 84. Bron, 96. Harden, 101. Now, Harden is about to go play in China. So he's pretty – I'm going to go ahead and say maybe he's done with his 101. I'm going to throw it out
I said Phil just because I put Oscar Robertson in there. For some reason, they don't list him, but he did it for a whole season. So I got to give Oscar his respect. He really is number one on that list. But, yeah, you're right. Harden is coming close to the end, and so is Westbrook. So before long, he'll be passing Westbrook.
Ron might sneak a couple to get to 100 possibly. You know, I don't know how long he's going to play. Westbrook, again, he's played, I think, what is it, 17 seasons now? So he can't be too much longer before he hangs it up. Trae with 62, he's going to surpass all of those guys. Okay? And Trae has five seasons under his belt. That's what makes that impressive more than anything else. Now,
and that's 11 more. 11 more of those games than the boy Wonder in Dallas, who also had the benefit of playing in the bubble. And that's, you know, 7 more than the great Magic Johnson, you know, the greatest point guard of all time.
And also in an offense that's really not conducive to his passing ability either. I'll throw that in there too. People standing around. But anyway, I'll get into that later. So make sure I didn't miss my spot here. So Trae is tied. Oh, okay, 30 and 10 games in the playoffs. NBA history we're talking about here. Trae is tied for 8th with 7. He's only been in the playoffs 3 times. He only has 20-something games. He has 7 already. He's currently tied with Magic Johnson and Kevin Johnson. And above him, James Harden, Kobe Bryant, Steve Nash, Curry, the Joker, CP3, Westbrook, Jerry West, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. That's it. NBA history we're talking about, folks. 30 and 15 games, 30 points, 15 assist games in NBA history. Trae is 30 and 15 games. Okay, this is the regular season I was about to say. So Trae is 9th in the league with 6. 30 points, 15 assist games in a non-motion offense. 5 years into the league, he already has 6, okay? That's pretty doggone impressive right there. Now, in the playoffs, 30 and 15 games, it hasn't happened a lot. Only 13 players have done it at all. Magic Johnson and Jerry West, they've done it 3 apiece. The other players who have won include the Joker, Harden, CP3, Dwayne Wade, Allen Iverson, John Stockton, Walt Frazier, Oscar Robertson, and John Bagley did it once. Throw him in there. But that's the list. Trae has played 27 games in his playoff career. But somehow, people still don't like Trae Young, don't like that he's here. And here's the reason why, Jordan. Turnovers. They keep talking about his turnovers. Okay?
Oh, gosh.
So I have something to talk about on the turnover end. Now, somebody who does a lot of turnovers just got like $1 billion, right? Somewhere in there, correct?
Right.
Jaylen Brown. So I have a little something to talk about on that, and let's see if this pulls up for me. Hopefully it'll work, because I want to really bring this out to y'all. It's very interesting. I didn't realize it before, but I said, let me go ahead and go check. So I actually pulled up his history in regards to turnovers over his playoff career. Now, I'm not going to really get into his early career because he was 20, 21 years old, but he didn't really turn the ball over a lot in his playoff career there. We're going by series. Like in 2017 against Chicago, I think he only had three turnovers that series. Washington, he only had three turnovers in that series. Against Cleveland, they lost that series 4-1. He had 7 turnovers. The next year, he's 21 years old. He only had 8 turnovers in the series, 6 and 9 turnovers. But that last series, they lost the series to Cleveland again. But, you know, Cleveland was being Cleveland. He had 9 turnovers in that series. But when he hit about 23 years of age, his turnovers did kind of start going up a little bit. In 2020 against Philadelphia, he had 10. Toronto, the next series, they won the series 4-3, but he had 17 turnovers. Next series, they lost to Miami, he had 14. That next year, 2022 season, which is the past season, right? Brooklyn, as far as the playoffs go, Brooklyn, they swept the Brooklyn Nets. He had 10 turnovers in that series. The Milwaukee Bucks, he had 21 turnovers in that series. They won that series 4-3. He had 23 turnovers the next series against Miami. They won that one 4-3. He had 20 turnovers against Golden State in the finals. They lost that 4-2. This past season against the Atlanta Hawks, he had 21 turnovers. Boston beat us 4-2. The next series against Philly, he had 20 turnovers. They won that series 4-3. Against the Miami Heat, he had 25 turnovers. They lost that series 3-4, obviously. So if we want to just talk about turnovers just for just a player who just got his bag, why don't people hate him for all these turnovers? He can't dribble but one hand, right? That's what they keep saying, and we see it. We see it playing with us, right? So who is the leader in turnovers in NBA history? Do you know who that is, Jordan?
I do. LeBron James has the most turnovers in the history of the NBA. Number 2 is Karl Malone. Number 3 is Russell Westbrook. Number 4 is John Stockton. Number 5 is Kobe Bean Bryant. Number 6, Jason Kidd. Number 7, Moses Malone. Number 8, James Harden. Number 9, Isaiah Zeke Thomas. Number 10, Hakeem Olajuwon. Patrick Ewing, Paul Pierce, Magic Johnson, Reggie Diaz, former Hawk, Steve Nash, Tim Duncan, Charles Barkley, Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal, Dwight Howard. Now, that's pretty much all of the greatest players to play the game in the modern era, with the one big name that's missing from that list is Michael Jeffrey Jordan, the greatest of all time. And so, you know, basically what that says to me is the guys who make the plays, the guys who have the ball in their hands a lot, they're going to turn the basketball over. And some of those names on that list were far more scorers than they were passers. You know what I mean? It's a guy who's attempting the difficult passes is going to put themselves at even more risk to get quite a few turnovers. With that being said, do I think Trey needs to cut his turnovers down some? Yes, I do. Especially in the last 5 minutes of the game. But as a whole, I don't think you can make an argument against Trey with turnovers when the greatest of all time in NBA history have a lot of turnovers. Now, the other thing you have to factor in, and it goes to what I was saying, is the ball being in a player's hand. Now, Michael Jordan, interestingly enough, has the highest usage rate in the history of the NBA and is not on that list. And that's a 33.26 usage rate. Now, just for comparison there, all time, Trae Young's usage rate would be, if I'm not mistaken, because they don't have him playing enough games to be listed, so I got to look back here, but his usage rate is would be third all time in NBA history. It's 32.6, okay? 32.6 usage rate would be third all time in NBA history. Second all time, excuse me, because Westbrook is at 31.87 in number two. So Trey would have the second highest usage rate of all time, not factoring in the other active players. I got to go look at Boy Wonder. His usage rate is very high, too. But, you know, his usage rate would be second all time. So the fact that he has those turnovers, he also has the ball in his hands as much as almost any player that's ever played the game of basketball.
Trae Young, and I'm glad you brought those things up because I actually had those out too, so I'm glad we think on the same page. LeBron has 4,966 turnovers for his career so far. It's still going. Westbrook, 4,443. John Stockton, 4,244. He leads the NBA with 15,806 assists. And again, Jordan just mentioned it. When you're trying to pass the ball a lot, that's going to kind of happen every now and again. Yes, Trey does have some bad bonehead turnovers, but a lot of his turnovers are based off of he's trying his best to operate in a system that was not conducive to him trying to get the ball to people because we had three people standing all the time, right? So, for instance,
right.
Trey is at 4.1 turnovers a game for his career, okay? You know who else is at that, Mark? Russell Westbrook. Magic is at 3.9 for his career. Magic, doggone Johnson. Isaiah Thomas, 3.8. James Harden, 3.7. John Wall, 3.7. Allen Iverson, 3.6. Nobody hates none of those guys. They don't. So, and the thing that gets me is people want to try to attribute Trey's turnovers to the Hawks not being successful. That's the thing that kills me, and I'm like, but wait a minute.
Ridiculous.
Trey is the primary reason that the last three seasons the Hawks have gotten to the playoffs and appeared in the playoffs at all. And again, the primary reason the Hawks were not a 60-loss team his first two seasons in the league. Without Trey Young's production, the Hawks might be a 15-19-win team, period, okay, over the last 5 years if Trey wasn't here, okay? So, like, again, it always comes back to, well, what is your real reason of your dislike, your hatred of who he is, what he does in the community, whatever it might be, but definitely on the floor. Because Trae Young is the primary reason we win games. Did you see the Boston series last year and what he did? In fact, let me go ahead and mention that real quick. I'm going to skip a little bit what I was going to say. Let me see if I can find it real quick before you go forward, Jordan. Well, actually, you go ahead what you had to say. I can't find it right now.
Well, you know, I was just to say, you know, I mean, when you have the ball in your hands a lot, you are going to turn the basketball over. You want to cut down. You don't want to be tied with Russell Westbrook for turnovers per game all time. But like you said, it's not like Trey is turnovers are the reason why we're losing these games. You also mentioned the system with guys standing around, which was also a very valid point when it comes to turnovers. And you also have to look at the fact that Trey has been one of the most trapped and double-teamed players in the league with defenses trying to pressure him and, you know, geared up to stop him. And up until last year, the Hawks did not even have a secondary playmaker at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Making it very hard, you know, on him. Because there was no one to relieve any of that ball handling and playmaking pressure.
Giannis had 3.94 turnovers a game last year. Luka 3.58. Joker at 3.56. Westbrook at 3.53. Joel Embiid, the MVP, 3.48. And Ja Morant, 3.38. Sounds like a caliber. Let me stop. Oh, I almost got in trouble there. Don't. NBA, it's going to get me. Anyway, I got to censor myself now. So, again, if you just hate him because of his turnovers, I don't think that's a valid reason. It just isn't. It isn't. And the other part of that is, will of course, be the defensive end, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit. I'm probably going to take a break in a second. But Trey doesn't play Joel Embiid. He doesn't play Klay Thompson. He doesn't play Jason Tatum. Who's stopping those guys? Okay, and I've said this for 5 years. If Trae Young's man was always dropping 40 on us, you would have a valid argument in regards to defense. But look how many other players in the NBA were not, let's just say, the best defensive player of all time. And no one hated Steve Nash winning back-to-back MVPs, not playing no defense either. Trae at least gets in front of his man. And this year is probably his best defensive season by far, if anybody actually watched the games, but I know they don't because they hate him. Right. So, again, I just don't understand the hatred. I don't understand for a player that has put Atlanta in the what's the word, relevancy category finally. That's what everybody has always wanted. You know, Atlanta this, Atlanta that. But people come to games. George just mentioned it earlier. What was the numbers again in regards to attendance, Jordan?
38 of 41 home games sold out. 104% of attendance as far as tickets available versus tickets sold. We sold 104% for the season, which is the second highest attendance percentage in the NBA, sir.
And we went 41-41. What's going to happen when we hit 50 wins finally? You see what I'm saying? So I just think it's very invalid for people to continue to have a public hatred for Trae Young.
Well,
more so than anything, and his family, and his father, and all these other things that go into your vocalism in regards to, oh, well, nothing is ever good. Nothing is ever positive. That's messed up. Criticism is one thing, but when when the Hawks have their parade on Peachtree Street, continue to be mad that the Hawks have a championship. And a second championship, and a third championship. Continue to do it. I want you to do it. That's why I did this whole segment. I want y'all to do that. Go ahead, Jordan.
One of the main reasons why there is some hate from fans around the league, including some people here in Atlanta, is some people just don't think for themselves, Chris. I mean, let's just be real here. Some people formulate their basketball opinions based on what their favorite media personality thinks. And there has been a media vendetta against Trae since he was at Oklahoma, really. You know, when he went through a little shooting slump, people, you know, had stuff to say about him, despite the fact that he led the NCAA in points and assists at Oklahoma. And so that's what some of this is. It's what I would call sheep syndrome. It's called following the media. The media, after we drafted Trae Young, said that he was the most likely player of all the draft picks to be a bust. Like I said, once again, I don't understand why you would think that of a player who led the league in points and assists, but they did, and they were dead wrong. But instead of majority of them coming out and admitting, hey, I was wrong about this kid, they tear this man down at every turn to try to validate their bad take. And so some people, when they hear that, they pick up on it, and they run with it. And it's ridiculous. One example of that is something that just happened today. You had Bleacher Report do a ranking of, I guess they said, player ceilings of players under 25 or under 24 or whatever it is. And it's crazy because Trae Young is not even on this particular list. You have the Boy Wonder, number one. You have Ant-Man Edwards, number two. This is Bleacher Report now. Once again, we'll call it Bogus Report. Top 10 guards under 25 with highest ceilings. Luka, Ant-Man, Ja Morant, Halliburton, Melo Ball, Garland, Scoot Henderson, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Williams, Josh Giddey. No Trae Young even in the top 10.
What?
How ridiculous.
Where's Cade Cunningham?
Josh Giddey. Okay?
Like,
no Trae Young in the top 10 of highest ceilings on guards under 25. I mean, how ridiculous is that? And one
Indiana
more thing.
Hasn't made the playoffs the last two seasons.
And the Sacramento didn't make the playoffs when he was there either, for that matter, in regards to Halliburton. So one other thing, Chris, I just got to speak on real quick.
Go ahead.
USA Basketball and the people who run that, the people who make the selections, ought to be ashamed of their damn selves, excuse my language, okay? But I am pissed off about Trae Young openly campaigning to be on Team USA and him not making the team. You got the best passer in the league, a guy who can get the basketball to all these other guys and make things cohesive, and you leave him off the team? Now, you know, here I'm reading stuff about Austin Reeves being there trying to recruit people to the Lakers, and Trae Young's not there, you know, to be able to try to do the same thing for the Hawks. And the fact that I'm even mentioning Austin Reeves being there and Trae Young not being there is a farce. It is ridiculous, okay? I don't care that, you know, Nike has a strong sponsorship with USA Basketball. It shouldn't be about what kind of shoes you got on. It should be about your game. Okay, you got a guy that's been all NBA, that's a two-time All-Star starter, and you got freaking Jalen Brunson there over him starting at point guard?
Yeah.
You can't be serious. And for them to have a chance to rob us, okay, of the chance to see Trae Young and Ant-Man, which will be one of the most exciting, you know, you can call Ant-Man small forward or guard on this team, but it'd be one of the most exciting perimeter combos you could possibly see. Okay, the alley-oops would have been crazy, and they have robbed us of that, Chris, and I am pissed off about it, sir.
And when would Trae even be, I mean, when would be the next Olympics, Summer Olympics?
2 years from now.
See, is this
the World Championships.
It's almost as if they did it on purpose just so that he can't recruit nobody. Maybe that's the reason. You know, that's what I'm starting to think. You know, just so that way he would not have an opportunity to really kind of, you know, get in folks here and be like, hey, you need to come over to the ATL, you know, I'm you know. Because people want to, everybody else knows except for people. You know, it doesn't make any sense. It's really asinine when it comes down to it. So that's another point. Jordan, I don't know if you are able to stay any longer. I'm about to try to take a little bit of a break. I'm glad that you're able to get on this first segment, though, to talk about Trae Young. I do have the elephant in the room subject that I am going to talk about a little bit later in the show. The former number four draft pick of the Atlanta Hawks, there's some things that have been said. I'm gonna go over those things. I've mentioned it before, but I'm going to do it a little bit more detail, but I want to go over some of the other sports segments, as I mentioned tonight. But if you think you can hang on, you can hang on while I take this little bit of a break. But if not, I'm glad you're able to get on tonight, and hopefully we'll be able to do some more.
I'm going to try to hang with you to the top of the hour, at least, Chris, to give it a few more minutes. And, yeah, like I say, that's just something I had to get off my chest, sir. I'm very passionate about that subject. It's a crime and a shame. And there's other reasons as far as the hate goes, especially regarding the boy wonder Luka Doncic, things that folks won't say, you know, but I have no problem saying it because you know how we do on this show. But with that being said, Chris, I'll let you go ahead and take us a break, and I look forward to coming back and talking a little bit more sports here on Around the ATL.
642-652-4479 is the number if you want to call in. I would usually do some kind of musical break, but I think I'm going to just play a little Hoosiers clip just to remind people how important passing the ball is.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta Sports Talk.
Thank you. where are you going? In the game? Sit down. What do you mean? There's a five out there. Sit down. Sit. Coach, need one more. My team's on the floor.
You're going to pass the ball. Well, that was strange. That didn't ever happen before. You got to pass the ball. You can't be one-on-one forever. Eventually, other people have to touch the ball. Even I've always talked about this in playing basketball myself. Even if I'm not going to do anything with the ball initially, get me the ball so I'm involved in the offense, okay? But if I have the ball, guess what I can do? I can post up. I can see who's cutting, right? I can see who's moving to the side on the three-point side. I'm going to get the person the best shot. If somebody's cutting, I can give you the ball. You got a layup. I got your guy blocked off. Somebody's cutting over to the three-point line. I'm dishing it over there. You're moving the ball. If you're just standing, you can't do nothing. And if you're just shooting, yeah, you might hit some shots, but guess what? One person hitting 70 points ain't going to win you no game. It's never happened before. We know that because we got beat by Houston last year. 646-562-4479 is the number. We're going to take a short Braves segment. We're going to talk a little bit of Braves baseball right now. We haven't done that in a while, so let's go ahead and get that started right now. So the Atlanta Braves are having one of their best seasons ever right now. The starting pitching has been, but the bullpen looks like it's been fixed. It's one of the best bullpens in baseball right now. They're stopping people now. And the offense obviously has carried the team really the entire year. But can that hold up in the playoffs? Now, right now, the team ERA is 3.84. Did you know the team ERA in 2021 for the World Series team was 3.88? So, never know. Starters for our team so far with at least three starts or more. Colby Allard, 6.57 ERA. Yanni, 9.23. Dylan Dodd, 7.40. Bryce Elder, 3.39, has 10 wins. Max Fried hasn't played a lot, 2.83 with 4 wins, ERA that is. Charlie Morton, who just had another great game tonight, 3.54, 12 wins. But Jared Schuster, 5 ERA. A.J. Smith, 4.57. Soroka, 5.52. Back to Strider, though, 3.57, 14 wins. Winans, 5.17 ERA. Kyle Wright, 5.79. So really, if it wasn't for the offense, we'd probably be in big trouble this year just by that. There's a chance right now with the offense we could have 7 players with 25 home runs, 8 with 20. We got a chance for 4 players to have 100 RBIs. We got 2 possible MVPs on the team with Ronnie and Matt. And look what Nicky Lopez has done filling in for Ozzy. So definitely this is the best Braves team we've had up and down the lineup. Is it enough to win the World Series to make it count? We got to find out. 646-652-4479. Jordan, any thoughts Braves-wise tonight?
Man, definitely a great baseball team, man, running away with the National League East. I have been keeping my eyes on the Dodgers as far as the best overall record in the National League goes, because last I checked, I haven't checked the last couple of days, but they were on an 11-game winning streak and just four games back of us for the best record in the National League. So it looks like it's setting up to be a clash against those guys again at some point in the postseason. And more likely, you know, the team that wins that clash will have the best chance to win the World Series. I am a bit concerned about the starting pitching, but not as much with Max Fried back. I just saw where Kyle Wright is going on a rehab assignment, so he should be back soon. And one thing I have been wondering, why they've been trotting, you know, some of these guys out there as opposed to bringing Mike Soroka back up and giving him another shot. Well, someone clarified that for me on Twitter. I wish I could remember the name so I could give them the credit. But they basically said if Soroka is called up before September, we basically he becomes a free agent a year sooner than he would otherwise.
Yeah,
and normally I'm not for a team doing that. I'd rather put the guy out there and try to win ball games. But with the league we have, and in the fact that Soroka has basically missed most of three seasons with injury, I do understand it in this situation. So I'm hoping to see him get another shot, you know, maybe get about four starts in September and just see where he's at in terms of can he help us in the postseason. Charlie Morton struck out a season high, I think 11 tonight, if I'm not mistaken, in a shutout win to win the series against the Mets. So that's a positive sign. Bryce Elder pitched well his last time out, which was very encouraging for me because I've been worried about him. He had had about three bad starts in a row after the All-Star break. So to see him kind of turned around was a positive thing. All in all, I do think this team has enough to win the World Series. The only negative, I guess, I have is I was a little disappointed that AA did not go out and get us another solid starting pitcher at the trade deadline. Certainly, I mean, it didn't have to be, you know, an ace like Ohtani, though that would have been nice. But just, you know, a third or fourth caliber starter, somebody who's just dependable, would have been a great addition. You already mentioned how well Ronald Acuna and Matt Olson are playing. Michael Harris has also been on fire here lately after a slow start to the season. He's been outstanding, and I got to give credit to him, and I will admit this. I thought the guy was toast. I thought the guy was done. Marcell Ozuna has been as hot as fish grease. I'm talking about as hot as the Vegas sun. I mean, just scorchingly hot. And I've also heard great things about him being a teammate to the guys, helping guys with the swings, just a positive influence in the clubhouse. So shout out to Marcell Ozuna, man. What a comeback, man. What a bounce back, sir.
Yeah, you gotta give it up to him because he, you know, it was the end of all ends right there, right? Who do you think will be the playoff starting pitchers? Now, Charlie has been, 3.54 is nothing to sneeze at. He has the losses just because of sometimes those that one inning or whatnot, but he does have 12 wins. He does have that 3.54. He just had a shutout. He gets the strikeouts and whatnot. But who do you think will be the playoff starting pitchers? You know, a month and a half from now. Because, Strider obviously is going to be right there. But do you say, okay, Max is back all the way back and put him in there? Or is it Charlie, you know, because like you said, Bryce, I don't know if you can really do that. We don't know Soroka's status at this point. So who do you think?
I think Frieda's looked good since he's come back. So I think he will be probably the opening starter for the playoffs, the number one guy, just because of his experience. I mean, the man started, you know, pivotal games for us in the World Series, forever a legend in my book for what he did. And he's still pitching at a high level. Second would be Spencer Strider, the strikeout king, man. I mean, you cannot look up and get a bloop hit or something if you can't even put the bat on the ball. The power pitching has always been extremely valuable in the playoffs. It's why John Smoltz has more playoff wins than a guy like Greg Maddux, for example. You know what I mean? Who's a better regular season pitcher. After that, I would say Charlie. He's looked pretty good lately. He is that veteran. And then the fourth starter, if he's healthy, will be Kyle Wright. If he's healthy and does well once he comes back from his rehab start, Well, like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing Soroka give it a look to see what he can do. You know, and if he gets about four starts in September, and he may look good enough to steal that last spot. Main thing I'm hoping for, Chris, I don't want to have any bullpen games in the playoffs. Okay, those things make me nervous.
Oh, that has to end.
Jesse
Chavez,
right. Yes, sir. And I know Jesse's hurt now. You know, hopefully he recovers. It's a speedy recovery. But I'm just saying, I don't want to see any games where, like, you know, Yates is starting, cause, you know, the whole
bullpen
game.
But they're
going to
do that. Let me come out there and pitch. Shoot.
Right, you know. So we can avoid bullpen starts in the playoffs, Chris. I think we'd be in good shape. And I think if those four guys in particular are healthy, Freed, Strider, Morton, Wright, we should be able to avoid it.
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense to put our bullpen in jeopardy on that end at all. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed the first half of the first show in months for Around the ATL. I appreciate everybody who supported over the years, and hopefully once we get regular again, people know we'll be back on. We'll get even more participation and support. I appreciate the ones who are watching so far. I know I started the show really late tonight. It's my fault. Couldn't help it. Nothing I could do about it. But, Jordan, I know you got to go. I appreciate you hanging out for a little bit, man.
Are we talking Falcons next, sir? Because I may hang around for a few more minutes if Falcons is up next.
See, here you go. I got hype now. See what happens, folks, when you get to talk some sports? I'm going to start the next hour on the Falcons. So that being said, I have it posted up here. We're going to talk some Falcons. We're going to talk a little UGA. We're going to talk a little bit of Atlanta Dream. We're going to talk some Atlanta United. We're going to try to sneak in some high school sports. We're going to see if we can do it. I don't know. And I got a little bit more Hawks talk to finish out the show, so definitely stay in tune. Or if you can't stay, watch it. Make sure you subscribe to IMTN Worldwide YouTube channel. In the meantime, we're going to take another little break, and just don't go anywhere. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. We'll be right back really soon.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta sports talk. We'll be right back.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is an impromptu show on a Wednesday night, Thursday morning now, 646-652-4479. Usually start 10 o'clock. Tonight it did not happen. Started at 11, so, you know, going about an hour later than usual. But appreciate those who've been able to tune in a little bit, and thankfully we're back on the air. And so if you do get to see this after the fact, thanks for your support. Definitely make sure you subscribe to the IMTN Worldwide Radio YouTube channel. There is a website now, imtnworldwideradio.com. So just in case, I am working on getting it set up to where if you want to purchase some Around the ATL merchandise, you'll be able to do it. I've seen some people try it. I hadn't had time to set it up completely, so I am working on that. So definitely thanks to those who have actually checked it out. Let me put the website up there real quick just for those who don't know that there is a website. There is a website now. So if I can find it, and there it is. Go check it out, imtnworldwideradio.com. So we have not talked Falcons in a long time on Around the ATL, and typically when we are about to do that, this is what we play.
Yeah. Welcome to Atlanta, home of them dirty birds. Anybody hating, get kicked to the curb. Any other team is absurd. Wearing black, white, silver. Red is for the blood. No one's scared of getting dirty, cause we came from the mud and we hungrier than ever. He rides, she rides, we ride together. Birds of a flock, more like birds of a feather. No one hit a party until we get the Lombardi. When we giving up, never.
That's right, we're gonna get that Lombardi, maybe this year. 646-652-4479 is the number. So the Atlanta Falcons regular season is around the corner. What are your thoughts on the moves that were made this offseason? Free agency, the draft, how do you feel about training camp, those who got a chance to go? I wasn't able to. I wish I could have. What do you think about preseason thus far, and what are your predictions? We can look at the depth chart, and also we could talk about this final preseason game coming up. One thing I do want to mention before I let Jordan come in here is that, one, Nielsen as our defensive coordinator is really going to make a difference. I think we can see that. It's tangible. You can see the effect of him being here. And I think with his scheme, plus his attention to detail and the players we have, I think we have a chance to have a 40-sack-plus year. And remember, last year we only had 21, and that was an improvement from the year before that. And last year we were second to last in the NFL. So when you can't put pressure on your QB, you give up a lot of receiving yards, and those yards definitely catch up to you. And I got some numbers to kind of dictate that a little bit, and I'll go into a little bit further. But Jordan, you said you had some Falcons stuff you wanted to mention. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I didn't get a chance to go to training camp either, but I did get a chance to attend this past preseason game. Shout out to Dr. Walton, who provided us with the tickets. Now, first of all, I say it was a great experience, man. I was sitting 25 rows up from the bottom of the field. I had access to the Delta Sky Club downstairs with free food and free non-alcoholic drinks. There's also a pavilion out there where you can actually step out, and you are standing on the field level and able to watch the game. From that perspective, in my case, I was on the side with the visiting team, so I'm standing right on the sidelines behind the Cincinnati Bengals players. So highly recommend that if anybody ever gets a chance to get those tickets. They are outstanding. With that being said, I thought the offense and defense both looked very good on the little time drive that they were out there. It's hard for me to gauge the defense as much in that game as far as the starters because Joe Burrow didn't play, but the guys certainly looked good when they were out there. The offense moved the ball very well on the drive. They were out there. The rookie running back, Bijan Robinson, looked explosive. The only thing that hurt us offensively, the too many penalties.
Not turnovers, but penalties, my bad.
Yeah, too many penalties. And that's, you know, a couple of penalties after we got into the red zone, stalled that drive out. So, unfortunately, they weren't able to put up any points when the starters were out there. Desmond Ridder looked sharp, 8-for-9 passing in the time he was out there, which was also very encouraging. you know, I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing so far. I think that, you know, we do have a chance to win this division. I tell you, a couple of guys who have stood out for me in this preseason. One is a cornerback, V. Alford, guy who's originally an Atlanta area native, in fact. He was on the team last year, but he ran a putback for a touchdown in the first preseason game. And made some great plays defensively in that last preseason game. I think that kid is a player. I think before it's all said and done, he will be the starting slot cornerback, the nickel guy, for the Atlanta Falcons. May not be this year, may be by the end of this year. But I think that's coming in the near future. That kid is talented. The other player who I've been very impressed with is DeMarco Helms, the safety out of Alabama. Seventh-round draft pick, and he is – Yes. Oh, he's definitely making the team. He actually is one of the highest rated rookies in all of the NFL. Seventh round pick. He's the seventh highest graded rookie according to Pro Football Focus from all the preseason action. He had an interception in both preseason games as well. And it's interesting. I do think that with his emergence, safety is one of the deepest spots for the Atlanta Falcons. We all know we brought in Jesse Bates, high-caliber Pro Bowl-level safety from Cincinnati. And I've also heard great things about Jalen Hawkins in practices, in particular the joint practice against Miami and in camp, as well as Helms, who we've seen in action. The one guy who I haven't heard much about is Richie Grant, the second-round pick from a couple years ago. So I almost wonder if Hawkins isn't going to beat him out for the starting spot. And I wonder, you know, if Helms doesn't end up passing him as well. You know, hopefully I'm wrong there. Hopefully, you know, all of them are good and we have just a problem on not knowing who to play. But that's what I'm seeing so far in that regards. Now, you know, I do think, you know what I mean, Bijan Robinson is going to be very good. But I must admit, you know, everything I keep hearing out of Eagles camp as well as the flashes I'm seeing in the preseason games, Jalen Carter is a beast, sir. Like, these guys are having to double and triple block him, these veterans already. You know, he's being compared to Sue and, you know, even up until Aaron Donald. You know what I mean? Some of the best defensive tackles they ever played a game. Darius Slay, the cornerback, who's played with a lot of great defensive tackles in his time, says he's as good early as any of those guys. He had me laughing because he compared him to a baby rhino. So, but with that being said, you know, I'm supporting Bijan since he is a Falcon. I did like the pick over Jalen Carter, but at the same time, that was never about Bijan's talent. I think both players will be great players. Just my philosophy when it comes to building a football team is I'd rather have the next Aaron Donald than the next Marshall Faulk, even though, you know, either way, you got a great player. You know what I mean? So that's the way I feel about that, Chris.
646-652-4479. So that kind of leads me into what I was about
to mention. Quick question,
Chris. Yeah.
Quick question for you. The starters only played one drive, offense and defense, in that game. I know they're not going to risk playing them in the third preseason game. Do you think just one drive in the preseason is enough to be ready for the regular season, sir?
With the fact that it's three preseason games and not four, that fourth game does make a difference in regards to getting your reps in and things of that nature. But now, since we have the extra regular season game, have you already seen a lot of players? Well, not a lot of players, but you got players that are out for the season already, right, in certain cases, and or having injuries. And whether it's enough or not, I think it's going to be almost one of those deals where we're going to have to trust the coaching staff and their decision to say they've seen enough in camp and practices to say this side knows what they're doing and this side knows what they're doing, offense and defense. And we'll be able to put it to the test when we play first game of the season. Whether or not I feel it's enough, I'm on the side of caution in this case to say I think it's going to have to be, you know, get used to that, you know, having three. Yeah, I thought they would have played a little bit more, at least the whole quarter or whatnot. But
I was hoping for the half, to be honest with you.
He was what? I think he was actually 7-for-9 with 80 yards on in just his appearance there with that tip interception. That really wasn't his interception, but the man didn't catch it. I saw what I needed to see. I mean, I don't know about everybody else.
That's pass interference, too. The DB got there early as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like I said, you got to just wash that off or whatnot. And the penalties that killed us, that's what I was going to mention in a little bit. But Smith has him as – he's the guy, you know, and just how he's moving and everything like that, Smith, I believe, is ready to get the team on the field, you know. And I think he's just getting everybody the depth. Where are you saying, Helms and some of these other guys – they're figuring that's going to be more important to them more so than anything else. Because, again, this is the first real offseason where they really address all angles of the team, but especially the depth. We did not have no depth. If somebody gets hurt, you're cooked, right? Now, we're a couple of people deep in a lot of different positions. Maybe not so much wide receiver necessarily. We'll see how that pans out. But all the other on the defensive side of the ball, I think we're good. You know, offensive side of the ball, and you know, the line and running backs, of course, we're pretty deep there and stuff like that. Tight ends, you know, we got that all set up too. So I think we're good. We'll see how it plays out as far as how rusty the team is game one. But I think that's where the professionalism and the coaching staff comes into play again too, is that this is it. We got to win 10 games, like, and it starts now, right? So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I do worry about offensive line depth a little bit because if something happens to one of the tackles, that might mean we see Jalen Mayfield on the field, which could mean the death of Desmond Ridder, which we want to avoid. Yeah. Also worry about depth at guard as well. Matthew Bergeron, the rookie, has looked pretty good at the left guard spot. With Matt Hennessy out, if something were to happen with him or Lindstrom, I would worry about whoever steps in their place. Wide receiver, I do agree with you. The depth is not great there. But one thing I do think, I think people are sleeping on the addition of Matt Collins. I think Matt Collins, he's a very eccentric guy, you know, a little bit peculiar, to be honest with you. But I think he's very talented. Free agent signing from the Oakland Raiders, a big physical receiver, solid route runner. I think that Matt Collins can be, for this team, what the addition of Mohamed Sanu was to the previous rendition of the Falcons, which was a pretty good player and a great glue guy. So those are my thoughts there, sir.
Very interesting. Well, one of the things is you know, I've always said defense does win championships, or it definitely plays a big part in it. And, again, we were second to last in sacks last year with 21. Just for people to be reminded, 9 of our losses last year were about 10 points or less, okay? And just I throw it out there, somebody went 5-8 and averaged 167 yards in passing with 12 turnovers. Doesn't really give you a good opportunity to win on that end either. But I think if we had maybe 40-plus sacks last year, I think that would have all been negated. We win all those games, okay? We had the fifth best rushing attack in football as well. And we won 7 games despite all that crazy stuff. So, you know, like I said, seeing Ridder doing what he's doing and not going to be a turnover magnet necessarily, and him being able to actually make all the throws, and we bolstered all these different opportunities to really push the ball down the field and things of that nature. You just mentioned Matt Collins and stuff like that. We got Bijan, Pitts, obviously, London. You saw a little glimpse of what this could be as far as a powerhouse team, really. So I'm excited about this season. I'm hoping I can get out to some regular season games this year. I'm just excited for the Atlanta Falcons to finally get back into the playoff hunt again.
So am I, sir. And like I said, I think we got a great chance to win this division. I do think the defense is going to be much improved. We've got a lot of great additions to that defense. I already mentioned Jesse Bates. You got Calais Campbell, the veteran defensive lineman. You got Caden Ellis, the linebacker. David Onyemata, I think is a correct pronunciation. Another guy who was brought in, the defensive tackle. I do like the additions. I'm looking for a big year out of Troy Anderson in his second year at the middle linebacker with the starting spot now belonging completely to him. And I am also looking for a big year for our friend of the show's guy, Jerome Jurinovich, and that's Arnold Ebiketie, the second-year pass rusher out of Penn State. So I'm definitely thinking that they're going to be much improved. Looking forward to seeing how I improve. I do like what Nielsen has done with them so far. I'm sorry to say this again, but I just can't help it. If only Jalen Carter was there, man, to learn up under Grady Jarrett, to learn up under Calais Campbell and David Onyemata, man, I would be, even that much more excited about this defense. Yes, I'm excited about Bijan Robinson, but I just think it's much easier to get a dominating running back than it is to find a dominant defensive lineman in the draft. And, for example, right now, if, let's say, we had drafted Jalen Carter, we could be in the mix to get Jonathan Taylor from the Colts right now to be our running back. So, just a thought.
Yep. I saw the hint that Philly might just, get everybody. It's so sickening right now, I tell you the truth.
Oh, boy.
646-652-4479 is the number. Again, Jordan, thanks for hanging out for this period of time. I know you got a long day ahead. I don't want to keep you too much longer, of course. But definitely we'll be getting the regularity back again for Around the ATL on Wednesday night, hopefully at 10 o'clock. So definitely appreciate your time tonight, man.
Yes, sir. I got to go and get up out of here, man, so I can get some rest. Can't be a danger to my clients on the road. I'm going to miss this UGA segment. But I will just say this. I know we did lose a running back for the season. Guy who's going to probably be our third running back today. But regardless of that, we're going to win this thing for big number 77, Devin Wilcox, who unfortunately passed away in the car crash. So you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. The UGA three-peat is downloading. Thank you to all you guys out there who listen to us, man. We really appreciate you. And even though this is not the end of the show, I get up out of here by just saying what I always say. Got to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta and these Georgia sports that I love. Peace up, A-Town down, y'all.
Talk to you later, man. Appreciate Jordan coming on. Like I said, we started the show a little bit later than usual, an hour later, actually. So definitely appreciate him staying on that extra time as well. That being said, because we haven't done it in a while, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the Atlanta Dream. And since we hadn't done the intro for them for a while, let's go ahead and do that right now as well. If I can find it. There it is.
Do you know what kind of woman you have to be to rise in an all-male run, all-male controlled, all-male executed, all-male domain, all men all the time? Do you know what kind of woman you have to be to survive, not only survive, but to thrive and to gain their utmost respect? Their utmost regard and to gain the admiration of not only the men you work with, but everybody who encounters you. Do you know what kind of woman you had to be in 1980? You gotta be powerful, 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 powerful.
So the Atlanta Dream, they're having a pretty decent season relative to what's happened last year and the year before that and the year before that. Right now, they're 16-17. Now, last year, they were 14-22. That's how they ended the season. They were fifth in the East in the WNBA. This year, they're 16-17 and third in the East. Fifth best record in the WNBA. So that's definitely better than everything from last year. Now, they recently lost by 12 points to the best team in the league, the Las Vegas Aces. Asia Wilson dropped 53. It's crazy. Now, Ron Howard, she had 27. Danielle Robinson had 17. The rookie, Haley Jones, had 23 off the bench. She's playing. She's had a pretty decent season, really, when you talk about having another rookie back-to-back on Ron Howard last year, winning Rookie of the Year. I just think that right now, the good thing about this team is the new coach, Tanisha Wright, giving them some true direction, some true competitive spirit, and they're competing every night. Last year, that wasn't happening, thus the losses that we had last year. The one big thing I continue to see, though, is for whatever reason, we haven't addressed getting somebody for the inside. We have a small team. Asia getting 53 points verifies that again. It's just we don't have enough to keep people out of the paint, to rebound on a regular basis. It's cool that we got some shooters and everything like that, but the eventuality is we're getting out-muscled by too many teams out there. But despite that, though, we have matched up pretty good with some of the other top teams in the league. We have some actual wins against some of them. So I think there's a chance that, one, if they can finish the season out strong, they can qualify for the playoffs. And then at that point, it's no holds barred because the playoff system in the WNBA, of course, is shorter than the men's. So they actually have a chance to maybe advance to at least a second round possibly, depending on the matchup. Again, it's going to be about matchups for the Atlanta Dream. But, again, that's why I think is their biggest thing right now. And when you really think about it, though, no matter what, when you talk about from all the turmoil and the bad stuff that happened in 2019 to where they were 8-26 to where they are now, completely different story. Plus, they do have an uptick in attendance at the games themselves. A lot more people are supporting the team because more people know that the team exists. If you've never been to an Atlanta Dream game, you need to go. You know, you live in Atlanta. If I lived in Atlanta, I would be able to go to more games. I don't live in Atlanta. So it's a terrible occurrence for me to even try to come up there sometimes. But I try to do what I can, mostly, well, I got season tickets again for the Hawks. I will be going to those games. I also plan to, even though I'm not talking about them tonight, College Park, and also the Atlanta Dream. So I'm going to try to dual it up, maybe a weekend here and there or whatnot, to where I can go to multiple games in the season or whatnot. So that's my plan. I don't know what your plan is, but you should make it a plan, especially if you have a daughter or a niece, right, who playing the WNBA might be something they might want to do if they're very athletic or whatnot. Never know. They could be playing in Atlanta, home team, right? Contract, right? So that's something to think about. But the Atlanta Dream, I think, has a chance to go to the playoffs this year. I hope they do. It'll be a great look after, like I said, the last 3 or 4 years consecutively. It's been tough. But like I said, I wanted to, you know, if you don't know, yes, we talk about all sports on Around the ATL. Notice the shirt that says Around the ATL, all sports, all Atlanta. I think y'all can read that, but there you go. All right. Oh, that's why y'all can't see it. We talk about all sports here, okay? So if you want to talk Atlanta sports, subscribe to the YouTube channel, IMTN Worldwide Radio. You can follow on IMTN Worldwide Radio on Instagram, or you can follow me on Twitter, Intellect ATL, or Jordan23 ATL, my co-host who just left. The IMTN Radio Twitter page as well, if you want to go there. Make sure you visit the IMTN Worldwide Radio website, okay? Make sure you do that. There's some cool stuff on there. I didn't get a chance to do it. I was supposed to update the site this evening before the show, but I'm running late. But go and check out the site. I'll post it up real quick for a second before we go to the next segment, which is Atlanta United, because we haven't done an Atlanta United segment in a while. So let's see if I can remember the music for that, or not the music, but the intro. Let's see if we can get that going.
Yeah.
70,000 strong, calling out ATL. You got to go to a match in Mercedes-Benz. You got to do it. Now, I haven't been able to go either, but I've watched plenty of matches. It's one of the best atmospheres in MLS. Some people have forgotten. Atlanta United has an MLS Cup. They've won a championship in the last 5 years. So can they get back, though? What has to happen? We know we've lost Joseph Martinez. We know we've lost Miguel. We've lost some really, really, really good players over the last few years. Now, right now it's not looking too great. You know, Atlanta United currently, I think they're in seventh with 38 points. They're very close to not being in the playoffs. Now, they did just have a big win against the Seattle Sounders, shut them out 2-0. I believe it's pronounced I thought I was going to have this tonight, but I am pretty tired. Giacoumakis had 2 goals for the victory. Now, they still have time to move up in the standings. If they continue to at least score goals, that'll up their points. They can't really afford anymore. They can't get shut out anymore. That's going to pretty much sink them at this point. They really need to actually win some matches so they can get their points up, though. So that's going to be the biggest thing. Can they keep that up? Again, 2-0 shutout is great, but they need to keep that going because otherwise, like, we've already had so many different managers over the last few years. That's hurt them as far as this continuity to an extent. And like I said, we've lost some really talented players overseas. So can we keep – first of all, can we attract other players? You know, no, we're not going to get Messi or anybody like that. We're not going to get him. But can we get some others to come over? And then can you keep the homegrown, the young talent from the quote-unquote the MLS G League that we have, Atlanta United 2, can you keep some of them long-term? And are they good enough to get us over the hump? Because that's what it's going to come down to. In soccer, defense is great, but you have to be able to score some goals. You got to be able to put pressure on the other team. And do we have the players to do that on a consistent basis? Like I said, it's here or there. We're seventh. You know, we're not that far away from being not in contention. Now, there's still another month or so of matches to go. So, there's plenty of time, a little bit of a cushion to where as long as they don't fall too much further down, you know, we at least get to the playoffs. We need to be regularly in the playoffs. We have such a great fan base in Atlanta. Again, 75,000 people rooting and tooting out there. They're loud. They're involved. They know the game and stuff like that. And the ones who don't, they're learning it. They want to learn it. That's the biggest thing. They've done such a good job of marketing this team. That's one good thing that Blink has done Atlanta United bringing them in. Is that you have a community that loves that team. So I think you need to take advantage of that and let's win something. So that's just my take on Atlanta United for right now. I didn't want to go too long because I still want to do some of these other segments as I can. And that being said, we're going to skip around a little bit. Actually, let's see if this works. Man, this is going to be tough. So I said I'm going to do some high school football. I don't have an intro for it yet or anything like that. I'm not familiar with all of the regions and things of that nature in regards to Georgia, state of Georgia, Atlanta, like different areas like Norcross, Duluth, and things of that nature. So what I'm going to say about that, because there's a lot of teams, obviously, like I'm looking at Class 7A, Region 7, Class 6A, all the way down to schools in my area, like Kendrick High School, Shaw, stuff like that. What I'm going to try to do is I'm going to go by rankings as far as at least the top five in the state per region, and I'll do those scores, and I'll try to keep up with that over the year. I'm going to try to do it like that initially. Now, if you happen to be, you know, an alumni or graduate from one of these high schools, you want to talk some high school football, you've been to the game, definitely love for you to call in. Back in my day, I didn't really go to a lot of high school football games because You know, I just have beef with every day on the team. I'm just joking. But because I play basketball, I don't care about football that much back then. But I know it is big in Georgia. You know, we got some top. I think Buford is number one off the top of my head, I believe, right? So, and then, of course, with high school football, you're talking about high school to college. Where are those kids going to go? Are they going to UGA? Are they going to Georgia State? Are they going to Auburn? You know, all that kind of good stuff. Are they going to dare go to the ACC for some crazy reason? Don't do that, right? So we'll talk about that. We can talk about, you know, who's getting, you know, approached or thought about in regards to what's the word? Committing to a particular college and stuff like that. I'm gonna try to do that a little bit more. We couldn't do it the last few years because we were concentrating on college football. So we were Albany State, you know, Clark Atlanta, all the all the black colleges, of course, Georgia Tech, and UGA, of course, as far as Georgia, because we're only covering Georgia. Okay, so but now we're going to do high school. We need a little bit of help, you know. So if y'all want to call in and talk about some high school football, definitely feel free to do that. We definitely appreciate that. Now, I have time. I'm going to finish this show out with talking some more Hawks talk in a new segment I call Fact or Fiction. All right, so initially I started talking about Trae Young. And this sheer hatred that so many people, Jordan said maybe not everybody, but it's a lot of people that makes it kind of almost everybody because they keep saying it out loud and in public. You see these tweets and Facebook page posts and Facebook lives and all this kind of stuff where people are outright hating Mr. Trae Young and his whole family, kids and everybody, just include everybody. But like I said, keep that same energy when it comes to Trae. When we win our first championship and we're on Peachtree Street and having a good old time and you'll just be there, your arms folded, just mad that Trae Young has won an NBA championship in Atlanta. Just keep doing it. But the other part of this conversation that I wanted to talk about is, and it's the elephant in the room when it comes to one particular player that's on the team right now. If I can find my page here. I've lost it for some reason. Okay, so DeAndre Hunter. Now, if you've never watched the show before, go to IMTN Worldwide Radio on YouTube. I got two shows that I talk about Hunter. And let me say this first. There's no such thing as scapegoat or witch hunt, okay? If someone uses the terminology of being a scapegoat or scapegoating somebody, there's circumstances that occurred with that particular individual to put them in that position. I can't do it because I don't play NBA basketball, okay? I'm not on the court, okay? So if a person is even in a viewpoint of supposedly someone blaming someone for scapegoating somebody, that doesn't really exist. It's a matter of fact or fiction. What has actually happened? How that person has actually performed does matter. The results on the court per their influence on the game does matter. There's a measurement system. It's called statistics, and it's quantified by the team's record overall. Okay? So all this stuff about scapegoating and witch hunting and stuff like that, I don't pay attention to any of that. Okay. Plus, guess what? Once that player signs a dotted line on a professional contract, just like y'all hate Trae Young, but there's a difference between criticism and hatred. If you can't take the criticism part, you shouldn't play professional sports at all anyway. Because when you play not well or you play bad all the time, you're scoring 7 points a game. You're getting half an assist a game. That's bad. Trae Young is not bad. I explained that at the beginning of the show. By a long shot, Trae Young is not bad. Go watch the beginning of the show. NBA history. His name is all over the place. 5 years in. Okay? So let me start off with this real quick. And let me see if I don't think I did I add that on here? Let's see. I think I did. Let's see. And I did not yet. I thought I did, so I'll pull that up later. Oh, no, I did. Okay, there it is. Being drafted fourth is not the same as being drafted late first round. Is it? Okay, just throwing that out there. Is somebody getting drafted fourth the same as somebody getting drafted 19th? Okay. Let me throw some career numbers out there for y'all. 17 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, 55% from the floor, 35% from three, 78% from free throws, 1 block a game, career. Okay. So those numbers, those are pretty good numbers. Okay. What draft pick would you say that person was drafted at? Okay. Again, I'll repeat it. 17 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, 55% from the floor, 35% career from three, 78% from free throw line, 1 block a game. Now here's another player. 14 points a game, 4 rebounds a game, 44% from the floor, 35% from three, 79% from free throw line, 0 blocks a game. So out of those two players, which one would you attribute, oh, that's the number 4 pick, and which one would you attribute, that's the number 19 pick? Okay. Now, before I answer, one of these players in his rookie season averaged 10 points and 7 rebounds a game, not starting a lot of games because of the particular coach at the time. But his sophomore season, he went to 19-9. His third season, 21-10. The other player that I mentioned, 12, 13 points a game. This is actually the first year 15 points a game actually happened. Most of y'all who are Hawks fans know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about DeAndre Hunter and John Collins, who's no longer here, got traded to the Utah Jazz. John Collins, 17-8, career. That's after having his worst year ever per two reasons, that finger of his, and then not getting the ball anymore. He was basically exiting out the offense. Okay? And he still got 13 points a game and I think 6 rebounds a game despite all that. But one of the shows that I did in regards to Hunter, one of them was called, let me see if I can find it real quick. I actually wrote them down. I don't know why it's not there. One of them, the premise of the show was, oh, there it is. False expectations, and do you not want the best out of a player? See, what I don't understand is at a certain point, when you draft somebody at number 4th pick, why is it here in Atlanta is no big deal, but in other places, if 4 years, 4 or 5 years go by and you were drafted 4th and you're still really not affecting the team in a way that reflects a number 4 pick, then how is it so much different here than there? Okay? How do you continue to just be like, oh, it's okay? And remember, again, I don't mind people getting their money, but once you get your money, you got to be better once you get that money. Jaylen Brown can't go from 26 points a game to 19 points a game average all of a sudden, making the money that he does make now. I'm sorry, that's a factor. You got to look, that's the only way you can look at it, okay? But in regards to Hunter, he was drafted Defensive Player of the Year coming out of Virginia and winning a national championship. He is supposed to be the wing on our team, the stopper on our team. And to not want to have an expectation of that, what is that really saying for some of y'all? You're supposed to support him not being that great at the number 4 pick that we gave up assets for to get him, if you remember. Okay? In those two shows that I did, False Expectations and Do You Not Want the Best Out of a Player on IMTN Worldwide Radio on YouTube, go look it up, I broke down Hunter in comparison to other wings in the league on both offense and defense, rebounding, steals, assists, just everything, getting to the basket, all these things. I break it really, really, really succinctly to show, well, why shouldn't we get this rather than what we have been getting? Because it matters. First of all, his attempts per game really hasn't fluctuated in the years he's been playing here, okay? And this year they went up for the first time, what his average has been. But I've always said effort comes into play on the defensive end besides knowing how to play defense. But here's the deal. On offense, his offense goes up in the playoffs as opposed to the regular season. How much so? 13 points a game last year, the year before last, I should say. 46% from the field. But in the playoffs, we're talking about the Miami series now, 21 a game. Okay? This year, he was at 16.7 points a game. He was getting 6.7 rebounds a game in the playoffs. But in the regular season, barely 4. If he was doing those numbers in the playoffs in the regular season, the Hawks would not be a play-in team. It'd be impossible because he would be a focal point. He'd be a facet in the game on the offensive and defensive end, period, point blank. It's not even contestable, okay? But as of right now, Hunter is not even top 10 in any defensive category at all as the number 4 pick in the NBA draft, okay? Effort matters when it comes to that, and we're relying on him. He's the starter. It'd be different if he was coming off the bench or something, but he can't come off the bench because we just renewed his contract, right? Why couldn't he be the number 2 option after Trey? Why is that such a problem? Why is that such a magical concept? That's what I keep asking. Why isn't he a 20-game scorer? He has the jump shot to do it. He shoots 35% from 3, for crying out loud. Could he be a 19-point-a-game scorer, 18-point? Why is he at 15 or less? Plus, why isn't he the lockdown defensive player? Take injuries out of it. Because even with 40, 45 games or whatever, you got guys who play and their average is still where it's supposed to be. But why isn't he taking on the responsibility of being the best wing on the team? Again, that's why he was drafted. Like, you don't just win Defensive Player of the Year. Does he have to be Tashaun Prince from the Detroit Pistons? Not necessarily, but he needs to be just better. Does he need to be Carmelo Anthony on the offensive end? No, not really, but he just needs to be better. Why can't he get 6 boards a game, a block a game, 2 steals, stop people? So let me do this, because if you're not hearing what I'm saying so far, let me show you video-wise. I got some video, and I'm going to go through it a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to get to do all of them. I'm checking the time real quick. Oh, that's right. That clock is fast, so I'm good on time. Now, if you watch the videos on Around the ATL already, on the 2 videos I talked to you about, the 2 shows, you've seen some of these. But I'm going to replay, and I've added some more, and I don't know if they're in order. I'm going to try to get them. But I'm going to try to go through them all at once and just want you to look. Now, if you've never seen my Sunday night basketball videos, I talk about the fundamentals of basketball all the time. I'm 40-plus years old. I know what to do on that court, okay? I'm not as fast as I used to be, but I can still do my job. And my job is to try to win the game by any doggone means necessary. I ain't going out there for exercise. I'm trying to win. Whether it be passing the ball, which is one of my specialties, blocking out, getting a rebound, getting a block here and there, I'm trying to win. I don't got to shoot my team out the game. If I know who my shooters are, I'm getting you the ball, okay? If nobody else is scoring, okay, now I got to try to do some work in the post, okay? Maybe hit an occasional jumper when I get around to it. But I want to show y'all on the defensive side my drastic oomph with Hunter over these years, but especially recently, because again, he should be the difference. He could be the difference maker on our team. Trey Young keeps us in all these games and outright wins games for us. But if we had Hunter doing one or the other, either on the offensive end being dominant or the defensive end locking down people, the Hawks would win all the time. We would never be in a play-in ever. So let me show you why I say that. I'm going to do probably 5 or 6 videos. Just watch them. There's going to be no commentary except for the announcers themselves. Check it out.
Down the stretch for Boston in Game 5. Different story so far here. Horford again. Misses and a stick back. Tatum. Devastating.
Actually, I'll do the commentary. Let me replay that real quick.
Remember the lack of sharpness down the stretch for Boston in Game 5. Different story so far here. Horford again. Misses and a stick back.
Knowing where your man is. During last season, on a lot of different shows, I did a Facebook Live usually. After the games, I would always go back. Here's the reason why we lost. Points in the paint, right? Second chance points, right? Why don't you know where your man is? Hunter let Tatum glide all the way to the basket. No resistance whatsoever. Would that 2 points would have made a difference? What was the score? Did you see the score? Doesn't matter. Why couldn't he just block out his man? Here's another one. Did he really try to fight through that screen, or did he let the screen fight him? Here's another one.
He's been a pest on the offensive glass, of the Boston has dominated the boards overall in this first half. Oh, what a look. And round. The two-hand clutch on the delivery from Smart.
What exactly was Hunter doing right there? That one was very irritating, more so than almost everything else right there, because that's kind of the synopsis of what I've been talking about. Here's another one.
Taking over just before the start of the season after Ime Udoka was suspended for violating team policy. Brown hops right around Hunter and lays it in.
Hops right around Hunter. Now, I'm not sure about this one, but yes, it is. Here's another one.
14 threes a game. 14 out of only 33 attempts. So you have to get out on three ball. Tatum splashes through a three-pointer.
Fighting through screens. Or, as I always talk about, not letting yourself get screened in the first place. Because, see, you know what you can do? You can avoid a screen. Okay? And or communication-wise, stay with your man. See, again, a lot of this is the technique part of it. This is where coaching comes into it. But at a certain point, pride has to come into it. It's the playoffs. But this is also how he's played in the regular season. There's one good season of defense that we've gotten out of Hunter in his time here so far. Other than that, it's sporadic at best. But this stuff is in the playoffs. It matters. We should have beat Boston in the first round. We should have beat them. We should have beat them, okay? So, I think this is the next one. Let's see.
The big thing right now is, can you prevent Boston from shooting a high percentage of threes?
What was that from Hunter? Did y'all see that? Let me play it again.
The big thing right now is, can you prevent Boston from shooting a high percentage of threes?
Just excuses at this point. I don't want to do that one because I don't think that is it. Here's another screen.
Did not look like it was deflected by Hunter. Here's Tatum rising and hitting another three. 15 threes in the first half.
He's acting exasperated, but he kind of did that to himself as well with Horford there. Here's one with Mr. Smart, I believe, again. This is another. Now, this one, if I'm right on this one, this is one where, yes, in this case, Trey should have switched. He didn't. However, Hunter had plenty of time to avoid this screen as well. But he didn't. Because, I mean, again, I'm just a basketball player. I wouldn't have let this screen happen, but y'all look at it.
The Hawks are 36-10 in points in the paint. Who would have thought 36-10?
That's an NFL rub route right there, right? I think that is the last one. No, I think this is it.
Game two, they looked a lot more comfortable. The level of aggression was night and day between Boston and Atlanta. Davis takes advantage to the rim, and it's worth.
Now, we can say that was a great move, but I need my great defensive player to stop that great move. That's just me. Why shouldn't I want that? Why shouldn't we get that? Because the other teams, they get that. Just like the Miami Heat shut down Trey last year, they figured out what they needed to do to shut him down specifically. And just for the heck of it, I got to play this just as a remembrance of, you know, how it could have been the whole series. But some of y'all hate Trae Young, though. So that all being said, and let's see how much time I got left. Probably not too much. I got 3 minutes left. So I'm wrapping this up. So I just want the expectation of what Hunter should be to actually happen rather than us hoping and wishing year after year after year. We're way past that now, right? And again, it's a matter of, were there options out there? Are there options out there? Yes. Can we afford to hope and wish that this is the season that now is all going to come together and he's going to play hard every night? He's going to play to his utmost skill level every night and not just coast by. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. But I just want to throw it out there to say we should and deserve better when it comes to the wing position, the small forward position, where he could be a dominant player in the league. He's the number four pick. He should be great now, not just still okay and just kind of sliding by. We've needed the help. Especially where we are now with where our team is. If this is the team we got, it's all on him again now, right? So that being said, I'm glad everybody was able to join the show tonight. As I get out of here, again, make sure you follow and subscribe to IMTN Worldwide Radio. I really appreciate that support. It really helps me out. We're going to try to get back regular. I know we haven't been around for almost 6 months. That's crazy, but we're going to try to come back. So make sure you follow the IMTN Worldwide Radio page on, like I said, YouTube. Visit IMTN Worldwide Radio on the website, worldwideradio.com, I should say. You can follow us on Twitter, like I said, IntellectATL, Jordan23ATL. And I'll go ahead and put up the website one more time so you can check that out. I'm going to go ahead and get out of here, y'all. Y'all have a good one. Thanks for the support. Y'all have a good night. And let's see if our Atlanta teams can win us a championship this year. All right? Y'all take care. Peace.